When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Guys, real quick, before we dive on into today's episode of The Pop, we wanted to let you know that the West Coast Tour for Through the Gryffindor is officially announced, officially launched. Tickets are available immediately.
Like right now, you can already buy them if you don't know. In addition to this podcast, Ben and I have another podcast called Through the Gryffindor. It is our chapter by chapter Harry Potter read through. It's basically the best book club on the internet.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We just wrapped up doing an East Coast tour. It was so much fun, and now we are taking it to the West Coast. So if you want to come see me and Ben do the show live, we are coming to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles.
These were truly so much fun. There's nothing better than having like the entire community all in the room with you. We do a live episode of Jay versus Ben. We do a live episode of Through the Gryffindor. It is just so much fun from top to bottom.
From top to bottom. I'm not sure if I said it. That's this September, and tickets are on sale now.
Yes, links in the description down below. Be sure to check it out. We hope to see you there. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I will be. You know, we keep arranging the, like, the, you know, I got to call up my office like, you in for like another infinite episodes of Popcorn Culture? I'm like, yeah, keep me on the schedule.
I'll make room for it.
I'll work it in. It'll work.
I love to think that even though you know it's going to happen every week, you still have to like pencil it into your schedule instead of just like having like pre-planned. It's sort of like, no. I'm gonna have to find a room. Gonna have to find a time to go and sit down with Ben and do this thing.
It makes it feel more special.
Yeah, it does.
I write down every week record pop on my to-do list.
Well, that makes sense. You know? It is something we have to do every week.
Do you include mundane tasks on your to-do list?
No, I tend to not to.
No.
But I'm also really...
Do you have a to-do list?
I was going to say I'm really horrific about go through like stints where I'm like, this is just me in general. Like I think my personality ebbs and flows in ways that I wish I had more control over.
Yeah.
But like I'll get like really good at doing a kind of behavior for a long period of time and be like, this is a reliable part of who I am. Like I can depend on myself to consistently do this. And then something like will interrupt the schedule. And then it's like I can't find the rhythm again.
Can't find the rhythm again.
And then it's like you were so good at it for so long. Like doing laundry, for example. You know, it's like the thing about laundry is that it's not bad if you do it often, because then it's like, you know, folding doesn't take forever. You don't have to run like multiple loads. It's just like a small handful of things. It's a small load in the washer. Everything gets nice and perfectly clean versus like, you know, when I was in college and I would wait like 3 months and then shove everything in there and it was like 80 pounds.
Yeah, right.
It comes out and I'm like, I don't even know if it's cleaner.
Oh, I know. There was a period of time where I had stopped working at the Berglund Center and I was doing Super Carlin Brothers full time. But like we didn't have any staff yet. It was just like there was this like short period of time where it was like just me at home all day by myself. And like even then you weren't even full time yet. You'd like come over on Thursday and we'd like write and shoot your video after getting lunch at the Village Grill.
Yes. You're right. Yeah.
When I think back on that, I'm like, man, how are we doing stuff?
I have no idea.
But like that was like a the time period in my life where like anytime I needed to go do a think, I would just sort of like I'd like go unload the dishwasher, or I would like give myself little breaks in the day based on like when the washing machine dinged or when the dryer dinged.
Right.
And it would be like, oh, let me just get up, go move my muscles for a second, just switch the laundry around, start another load, take this one out, and then like at lunch, you know, I would eat my food in like 10 minutes because there was no one to talk to. Right. But I would like still try and give myself a break. And I'd like, you know, I was really up to date on all the CW shows back then.
Oh, yeah. Like, all Arrow, like the Arrowverse. Flash.
Yeah. Because like the way they had it, like every day was like, you know, Monday's Arrow, Tuesday Flash, you know, whatever. And I was like, right. I just catch up from the one last night. So I was very on top of it. And I would fold laundry during that time, or I'd go, you know, just put a stack of shirts away, and it's like everything was done all the time.
Yes,
it was great. Like that was so long gone. Not only that, and it's like at that point just me and Beth,
right?
You know,
right, I know
now.
Yeah,
it's like doesn't happen. I always have it in my brain. I'm like, you know, we should, after we put them to bed, while we're just like watching TV, we should just like fold clothes or something, you know.
I know,
just put the basket in front of us, like it won't be that big a deal. And it's like I get to that point of the day and I'm like, as if
the best laid
plans. If nope, no chance I'm doing any work right now. No way. I'm going to sit here and be just a potato. You
yes,
know?
Yes.
I am out.
I feel the exact same way. I always have this like high optimism about how I can use the rest of the day. And then I'm like, oh, but I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, which is actually something I'm trying to give myself like a lot more like leniency on. Because I think for the longest period of time, anytime I was relaxing, I was mad at myself because I was like, well, what are you doing like laying down for? What are you doing? Like, you know, taking a break? You're taking a break right now? Really? When there's stuff you could do? I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give myself a pass because I worked really hard today and I got a lot of stuff done. And you know what? I'm ready to just be a potato.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not so bad.
You just gotta give yourself a pass at some point. No doubt.
Yeah. So what I was gonna say though is like, yeah, so for the longest time I was really good at doing like laundry, you know, like on like a consistent schedule. And it was just sort of like, okay, it's Saturday and Allie works on Saturday. So it's just sort of like first thing in the morning, I come downstairs, you know, get my coffee prepped, start my laundry for the day. You know, by noon it was all like rewashed, folded, dried, and not in that order. You know, and it's all good. And then as soon as like there's like a trip or something, and there's like a suitcase that has like clothes in it that you came home and you like set it down, and then life got busy again, and like you never unpacked the suitcase.
Yeah.
And then that's piling on with like your week's worth of laundry. So now you've got like a lot more to do. Then it feels more daunting. Then you don't want to do it. And then the whole routine is broken. And it's like, I was like, for months, I was great. And now I'm not great. And all of this to say, I don't do a daily to-do list right now, but sometimes I do a daily to-do list.
I think, like when I started my working back at the Berglund Center, it was like I didn't have any good like professional rhythm at all.
Sure,
you
know? Sure.
It was just like, show up, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll go do it. And then, you know, eventually like they're just like relying on you to have certain tasks, and you know, they don't want to be telling you every single thing to do all the time.
Right.
You know, or it'd be like, well, why didn't this get done? Or like, why didn't, you know, it's like, oh yeah. And so like there was like this whole like refinement to the whole to-do list thing where I would just every day I would like write down every single thing, and then you'd go and, you know, I'd have a lot more like meetings back then.
Oh, sure. Yep.
And you know, sometimes you go in a meeting and it would be like mid meeting, you know, someone might be like, okay, Jonathan, can you work on that? And it'd be like, okay, sure. You know, like that would be the whole assignment or whatever.
Right.
And like, you wouldn't, you know, like it'd be easy to be like, were you like officially telling me to do that? Like, how urgent is that or whatever? But you might like write it down or something. So I would have this whole system in meetings where if anyone said anything like that, I would write it down and then like circle it.
Okay.
And then like, as soon as I got back to my desk, it was like, look at everything you circled, add that to the list, you know?
Nice.
And
nice.
I mean, but I would put mundane things on there too. Just like whether it was like respond to this email, you know, which would be like otherwise might seem kind of obvious or something.
Right.
But, it, you know, some tasks might be, you know, like hour-long tasks. Some might be like 20-second tasks, but they all made it to the list.
This is where I think that I could probably give my like mental ledger like such a break if I was willing to, not even like that I'm unwilling to do it, just if I was disciplined enough to write it all down, because I keep like a little weird mental catalog inside of my brain all the time. That's just sort of like, hey, you got like 12 tabs open. You like,
right.
You leave them open so that you don't forget to come back to them. But that means they're open the whole time.
Well, it's like, I think the difference now probably for you is that like you, like in my position then, like someone else was holding me accountable. Like someone further up the ladder was holding me accountable. And so if it wasn't done, it was like, that's not good.
Right.
But like we're, you know, we own the business. So it's like the only person absolutely holding you accountable for it is yourself. And you're pretty willing to forgive yourself on stuff.
Well, that's true. Know? That's true. Yeah.
A lot of the time. But
that's a good point. Yeah. Like if you don't have somebody breathing down your neck, it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, this is what's going to happen. Yeah. Who's going to punish me for this?
The ever looming concept of failure.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. It weighs heavy on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel it in my chest right now, Ben. It is like, and it's like, I hate it. I hate just anxiety in general. It's just like, you know, sometimes it'll just rest in my body, and it's like a physical ball. I feel like I can feel it like move around, and it'll be like in my chest or in my stomach. Sometimes it'll go up to like my chin. I felt it in my foot. Like, it's literally like just moves around my body, and I'm like, wow. I hate it. And like, sometimes it'll just be around for like months.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, this doesn't even make sense. I don't have anything to be worried about. Things are going, like, everything's going fine. Why are you determined to just, I hate it.
I know. I understand completely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It is certainly like, you know, I don't know. I mean, anxiety, the worst.
Yeah,
the worst,
basically.
As it were. Yeah, mm-hmm. Actually. So on this particular note, because I feel like it could give me a transition to something I learned about over the weekend that I just thought was kind of interesting.
Okay.
It's one of those things that's not terribly profound, but it has to do, I think, a little bit with kind of what you're talking about here. But it is like the common, you know, like anxiety reaction to some situation is that you can usually have like this sort of like fight or flight response mechanism.
Yeah.
And do you experience these? Like, have you ever like even like reflected on a situation in the past? Like, oh wow, like I know what was happening there. Like my flight response was being like activated, or my fight response was being activated.
Yeah.
In some particular.
Oh,
capacity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, I have.
I remember this one was like, for me, was really intense. And I'll continue to expand on this as I go, but I would say that like fight is very, very, very low in terms of like my physiological reactions mm-hmm. to the stimulus of stress.
Uh-huh.
However, there was like one instance in particular where very early on, and actually I'll have to ask you what you think the response actually was, because I'm not even sure now that I look back on it. Early on in the aquarium career, we were doing this big museum exhibit setup, and it was requiring just a huge amount of work on the front end. And at this point in time, it was mostly just me doing like the day-to-day labor of the company. And we were collaborating with this firm out of, you know, Florida that had yeah. come up that was like helping us do the build out and stuff. And it was this really crazy all hands on deck. Like, because these guys had like flown up from Florida, like the whole time they were here for like 2 months, it was just 7 days a week, because right. it was like, you're not going to give them like the weekends. Like, because there was so much expense involved with having right. them there,
it was costing them money to exist in Roanoke for every minute they were there.
Precisely. Yeah. 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 So it was just sort of like, yeah. So 7 days a week, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning till, you know, 6 o'clock at night.
Right.
You know, with lunch somewhere in the midst of that. But,
right.
You know, so it was 7 days a week, 7 days a week, 7 days a week. And then eventually they took off because the aquariums were ready to go and the exhibits open to the public and everything was kind of, you know, doing what it was doing. But for me, it was sort of like, again, you know, like I'm dealing with a huge myriad of like new creatures that I haven't really dealt with before.
Yeah.
There are seahorses and we had these like, you know, endangered fish from like a local area that were on display. You know, we had turtles and seahorses and it was sort of like drinking from a fire hose. You know,
yeah.
just like, okay, trying to figure out how all of these bits and bobs work. And like as the months are going on, the one thing I'm struggling with the most is the jellyfish. It's like, they're just not working for me. And we're doing this like live feed system on an automated timer to make sure they're being fed at like this huge number of times per day. Cause they're just kind of like, jellyfish are spineless and brainless. They just sort of are like almost dust that is alive. They just,
right.
They
yeah.
exist. They pulse. They're always eating. They can always be eating, but they're not even opportunistic. Like, they're not responding to the stimulus of food. They just float through the food.
Sometimes they get food.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, it's just like one of these things where it's like, it's a new one for me and I don't exactly know what I'm doing. And like, I can, you know, it seems like maybe they're not doing great,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then I'm finally getting ready to go on like my first vacation after what had to be, I don't know, somewhere between like 8 and 10 months of 7 days a week work.
Yeah.
And so I am just so excited because we're going up to Vermont. It's going to be like, you know, amazing.
Yeah.
Like a week away and I can finally take a pause. And, you know, I think that there was going to be like 2 days unattended while, you know, the guys from Florida sent somebody up to maintain while I was going to be gone or whatever. So I was like, oh, this is going to be so amazing. And I go up the night before I leave on the trip and I look at the jellyfish tubes and they are both empty.
Oh,
like,
no.
The jellyfish have just disintegrated into nothing. And the reason I was taking the vacation is because it was the 4th of July, and it was the first year that this museum had been reopened to the public, and there was a huge amount of hype about it in the middle of the summer, and everybody was going to be going out. There's like, you know, 4th of July festivities and like all this stuff going on. So then I start getting phone calls. So, like, so the next day I'm on a 12-hour drive, and I got I kid you not, like 17 phone calls.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and it's like the CEO of the company is calling me. Like the press is calling me.
The press.
You know, like anybody who could have been like deemed like, you know, someone who had like power over my life was calling me.
Right.
With situations. And I'm driving and I'm doing my absolute darndest to just focus on getting this car packed full of people and all of our gear,
right?
You know, 12 hours up the road. But every single time the phone rings, my legs just fill with blood.
Dude, like, yeah, I hear you.
It was
just
pure stress. That's
terrible.
Like, yeah, it's like, it is like my body is like telling me, and I think that this was a flight response. It was kind of like a like run, you know,
right,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, the stimulus inside of my brain was telling me run from the problem. Like,
right.
Because you like, it's like, I don't know what else to do in
this
situation.
Well, like, what could you even say? You know, it's just like, I'm not there and I won't be there. Like, you know, I don't know what you want me to do about it. I can't do anything about it.
Right.
I'm not there. Like, you know, calling me is not helping. I can't call people to come fix it.
Right. You right. Know? Yes. But in the meantime, you know, they're there. They're on the ground. They're like, you know, the media is contacting them asking like, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, we were all excited for, you know, are they not there? Like, you know, they're so it's just like one of these things where it's just like, yeah, like, OK, this is scary.
How did the media even find out? That is the crazy thing to me. Like, who is paying that close attention to the aquariums that they're just like, hey, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
Hey.
I have no idea.
That's crazy. No idea.
Yeah. But anyway, it happened. And so it was just like one of those like days I can go back to my, like even just describing it right now.
It sounds like a traumatic experience altogether.
It sort of was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But so like that was like a big one for me where it was like, I even remember the next day, all I had done the whole day prior was sit in the car and drive. And I remember the next day, my legs felt like I had run a marathon.
Yeah.
Like they were destroyed, like sore.
Yeah.
From the amount of
stress. I'm sure you
just
were just
like,
insane tense.
Yeah. Just the sheer amount of stress that was pulsing through me. So that was pretty insane. But then what I was learning about over the weekend though, to expand on this, because I feel like most people have heard of the fight or flight response, right? But like, are you familiar with what can also come as a response?
I've heard fight, flight, or freeze.
Okay.
Like a lot of times, like when you see like a deer in the headlights, they're just like...
Yes. So freeze is going to be like the third of actually four plausible responses.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you're exactly right. The deer in the headlights is probably like the ultimate. Like it's usually like when a stress situation happens and it's sort of like you neither feel like you can attack the problem or run from the problem. And so your response is to just literally shut down.
Right.
And do nothing. And then the last one, and this is the one that I was like, oh, this is really fascinating. But like, you know, I always talk about sort of like the people pleasing tendencies.
Yeah.
But the last of these situations is fawn. Mm. So it's fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And that's F-A-W-N, like to fawn over somebody. But
yeah.
That's almost exactly what it is. And so essentially what's happening with fawn is that like, this is where I feel like your stress response to what is like perceived to be like danger, which might be like somebody not liking you, for example, causes you to be like overly polite, overly helpful, overly willing to like sacrifice your own needs in the name of appeasing whoever this person is.
Right.
So it's like an overly agreeable nature,
right,
that can then actually be, but what's fascinating to me is like I you know, I've obviously talked a lot about it. I know that I've done it in my life, but like hearing this, I was like, it had never occurred to me before that people pleasing could be like a stress response.
Yeah. Well, because like the other, I mean, I've always heard of fight, flight, or freeze as like a danger response.
Yes.
So it's interesting that like, you know, like you might, that fawn would be, because like that's what it would have to be, like your brain would have to be interpreting it as danger for it to be classified with these other three things.
Precisely.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Cause like, it makes you wonder, like, you know, would, how would you respond to, like, you know, like a bear attack then, you know, like, would you just be like, try and be nice to the bear, you know?
Right. You know? It's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Bear.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Did I get in your way there? Did I separate you from your small cublets?
Yeah. Cublets. Yeah. Right. I don't know.
I know. Yeah. So it's a very good question. You know, it's, but like, I mean, it does make me wonder, like, you know, if I were to be in some type of like danger based situation, how quickly I would just sort of be like, can I help you guys with anything? Is there anything I can do? Here's my wallet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Do you need my pins as well? How can I help?
Wouldn't offer that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, logically, no.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
In this situation, is that right. what sort of like bursts from you?
Right.
Do you have a response that you find seems to arise more than one or the other, or is it really just circumstantial?
I feel like it feels like circumstantial. Like a lot of times I feel like I've definitely experienced I've probably experienced all four of these at different points.
Sure.
For sure. I remember in particular one time I was at one of my friend's house, Steven, and John and Mike wanted to hang out, you know, at the GMA.
Yeah.
And they, I guess they knew where I was, and they, like, you know, were trying to find my car, and they found it, and this was when I had the Jeep.
Okay.
And I guess I left it unlocked. And so they got in the car and like we're hiding in the back seat and we're like then like really trying to get me to come out and like go do something or pick them up or something. I don't know. They you know, eventually got me to like come out of the house to like go leave and like find them or whatever.
Right.
And of course, you know, I get in the front seat and they just, you know, scream and, you know, try and scare me. And I'm like this was like one of those things, like, I'm just lucky I didn't actually hit them, but like, or they're lucky I missed, because like I was aiming to hit where the sound was coming from.
Oh,
like,
no.
Fight was immediate. Like, it, you know, it happened before you're thinking.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they thought it was theirs. They're like, oh, my God, you were like about to like punch us in the face. I was like, I don't even know. You know, I don't even know.
I was not expecting you to be in my car. Yeah,
I did something wrong.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like any other situation where this is the real threat. I responded correctly.
I know. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Even I've had a similar thing happen. It was like maybe even just like last month or something, where I was like, me and Beth are just like watching TV, and I was like, it was like late at night, and I was sort of dozing, like on and off on the couch, and all of a sudden something fell over in the garage or like towards the around the front door area, and it made such a loud sound. Now, such in like an out of it state that like, but like the moment the sound happened, like I think I made it from the couch to the front door in like less than 1 second.
Oh, you my god!
Like, I was just like good. Someone is lucky they weren't there, because like they were going down. You know? Like, you know, and it's like it takes like a minute after you're like, what just happened? How did I get here? You know?
Right. Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I don't even know what I was doing. You know, it was nothing but instinct responding to the sound. Like, is my family in danger? You know?
Right. Can't have that. Yeah.
Yeah. Have that. So that has happened a few times. But then, like, you know, we've been out like biking in the woods before, and like, you know, I've seen like a bear just run across the trail, and it's like, all right, it's time to move.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Even though it's like, you know, that bear was running in the other direction. And whatever.
They're
not trying to chase you down.
Right. They don't want to interact with you just as much as you don't want to interact with them.
Yeah. Right.
Because I feel like they also do like the deer in the headlights thing as well, where they're like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
so
I'll see you there.
I've experienced all of it. I feel like sometimes if I get like extremely, extremely anxious, it'll be more of like a freeze situation.
Where it's just like, okay, I got to go. I got to sit. I got to be. It'll be fine.
It's not like, it's not, no, I don't even think it's like, it's not something we plan. Like, it's like in the moment, like, because it just happens to, you know, it's like, if you have time to think about it, then I don't even feel like it's instinct.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, it's like all of a sudden it'll just be like, I really have no idea what to do. Like left, right. Like I've had times where I'm like staring like at a sheet of paper and it's like, I cannot read the words anymore.
Oh, wow.
You know, where it's like, like nothing makes sense. I'm just like trapped in my like
you're right. Like I think that's probably like the key thing about this is that it's like you think of these things as like decisions, but they're kind of not.
Yeah,
really
right.
Decisions.
They're not.
They're like instinctive responses.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating. Yeah, I think you're right. So when I was talking to Alice about this, I'm like a terrible person to argue with because I will like take horrendously long amounts of time in between like conversations. So like,
yeah.
I don't get very like heat of the moment. Like, okay, I'm really mad. So now I'm just going to say whatever comes to me and like, we'll see what happens. It's very much like somebody will say something and then I'll sit there and say nothing for like 7 minutes.
No, I do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there and just like really think about it. I think because I really don't want to say the wrong thing, or I don't want to have like a heat of the moment like thing come out, or like I really just want to like hear what you said and think about it and formulate my thoughts.
Right. Yeah. Right. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do the same thing.
it's more safety. I always go back to this. Sometimes I'm like, maybe we should have an argument through text message, because like I always remember when texting became a thing, like, you know, when it was like, you can't have a serious conversation through text. And I was like, try me.
I sure will.
Sometimes it's easier because I'll type the whole thing out. And I'm like, oh no, that's harsh. Delete. Let me try again. It's like, but like when I always think about that, like when I delete a text before I've sent it and then like retype it, I'm like, what would have happened if I was just in person? Would I have said the first text
right
out loud?
Right,
that was the first thing that came to me.
Maybe
it's almost like you get to like try once and then be like, okay, it's out of my system.
Right
now I've put it somewhere and now I can get rid of
it.
Well,
this is like people used to say, like, you know, if you're ever angry, just like go write a letter but don't send it.
I want to ask you about this exact thing too, because me and Alice had a conversation about this as well during our drive up to the DC show for Through the Griffin Tour, because we were just talking about something from a long time ago, and we're like, oh, it'd be so interesting to like send a letter. And it's something that like my therapist tells me all the time. She's like, you know, if you're really upset about something, you should write the letter and then just like take it outside and burn it. And I'm like, I think that for that to work for me, I would almost need to write the letter as if I meant to send it.
Yeah.
And then but I can't have the plan to always not send it. Oh. It would almost be like, I'd be like, that's it. I'm sending it. I'm sending the letter. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pour my heart and soul into this. And then it would almost need to be like, I would need to be genuine about my intent.
Right.
To send it.
Right.
And then
put it in the envelope, seal it, stamp it, write the address, and then don't send it.
and at that point in time, I need to trust myself to come to the conclusion that you won't do it.
Yeah.
You won't send it. But like, but I need to know up until that moment. Because if I know, then it's like, I won't be genuine. I won't be genuine.
This is like, I remember once upon a time when we were doing like premarital counseling, they make you go like take it like with the people we were doing it with, like, you know, had us like take a little test to like, you know, figure out what your love languages were or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
And I remember I got to the end of mine. It was like, oh, it's like acts of service and words of affirmation. And it was like, I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's cool to know just about myself.
Right.
But then it was like, you know, you'd like have conversations with people and like, you know, you tell them like words of affirmation and be like, oh, that's good for me to know to communicate with you. And I'm like, so everything, I'm like, I can't trust a single word you say now, you know?
Oh no. You
know? It's like, now that I know you could be trying to play into it, I'll just assume you're lying no matter what, you know, I'll assume you're only trying to appease me.
Right.
You know, which is a terrible position to put yourself in.
No, that is a tough one. Yeah. That is a tough one. So, okay. So let's walk through them then, as long as we're talking about love languages.
Oh yeah, sure.
Because there are five.
There are five.
So yours are words of affirmation and acts of service.
I would say acts of service is much higher.
Acts of service is much higher.
That is definitely like, I would say the bigger one.
Like, do you think that's the way you exhibit it? Like you do that or you appreciate that?
I would say it is the way I receive the most.
Okay.
But like I think this is always the tricky part. I think often the way in which you receive it the best is also the way you then attempt to show it the best.
Oh, sure.
You know, so yeah. I also attempt, I think this is what I do the most in terms of attempting to show it as well.
Yeah.
But I think to that end, Beth is also an acts of service person. So
that works out well. Yeah.
It works out.
I will say that when we were on tour, one of the things that you did that was like so nice was you oftentimes wake up before me.
Yeah.
And then you would come over and you'd be like, hey, I got your coffee.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I would like be like literally like, you know, unfogging my eyes and you'd be like, here's a cup of coffee. And I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It was so sweet. I really appreciated it.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
That was so like, it was like one of those things where I was like, this is like a genuine, like, you know, even if it's like crappy hotel coffee, it's like, this is a genuine treat.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I know. You know? I know. Yes. I mean, to just have coffee in the morning. It's so nice.
I know.
It's so nice.
Makes such a difference.
It does.
Okay. So acts of service, words of affirmation,
quality time,
physical touch,
gifts,
and gift giving. Yeah. Okay. This is, oh man. Yeah. Goodness me. I would say that gift giving is definitely something that I have historically felt like was like a big one.
Yeah.
Although I have also felt like it's like ebbed off lately. I don't know if that's like a like post Addison like shift in like mm-hmm. who I am as a person.
Sure.
Where it's just like maybe now like that emphasis on like on quality time is just like so much more vital that it's almost like siphoned some of that like
some
away.
Of that, yeah.
Where it's like I would always rather just be getting that time.
Yeah.
You know, more than anything else.
Right.
But let's see here. I also like acts of service because it's like it's fun. Like, you know, me and you got to like I went over to your house to like do like mulch type
yes,
stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it was like we went in and we were in the hot sun and moving heavy stuff around, but it was also just like joyous.
Oh, that was a glorious day.
Yeah.
That was, I think a few episodes ago, we were like, did we have an actual, like a literal perfect day?
Yes.
And like, that was part of it was spreading mulch.
Mulch. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's like,
I doubt many people would be like, you can do literally anything today. Plan your perfect day to be like, so we're spreading mulch.
Spreading, obviously.
That's obvious.
It goes
yeah.
without saying.
Goes without like, saying.
Nothing will fill us with more joy.
I know. But boy, that was a very good day. That was a good one. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that was good. And then let's see here. What else? Yeah. I mean, I think quality time is probably the one that I like to get the most, mm-hmm. the most in. It's also the one that I feel like is probably the scarcest as well.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, being able to like try to get like all your touches in with all the people in your life, all your friends, family, like whatever.
It's hard to do quality time with friends.
It's yeah.
When you have small kids and all of your friends have small kids.
Yes.
It's like there's this definite phase of life where you just sort of like, not like, I mean, retreat's probably the wrong word, but like retreat into your family.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, you know, at some point they're all a little more independent and you can reemerge.
reemerge. Yeah. Like a butterfly.
Butterfly, yes. We're all just cocooning.
Yeah,
right now
yeah.
We're growing. We're in the chrysalis.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's like we'll be out soon. Nobody we'll else. Yeah, it's gonna be great. Yeah. It's gonna be great.
Whole new person on the other side, man.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well, let's do a quick transition.
Okay.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so story time. Since the day that I met my wife, Alice, she has been all about secondhand clothing. So 2 years ago, we decided to take that idea and run with it and open a business called Nude. It's like the past tense of new because it's not really old, but you know, nude. Old is the new nude. You get it. Anyway, we'd both been in business, but she was hung up on how to start selling online. But fortunately, I had experience with Shopify, and to tell you that we got started in no time is a straight up understatement. We were busy being brand new parents to a 6 month old. We both have other jobs. And within 2 weeks of idea conception, we had the website up and running. So if you're on the fence, whether it's in the like launch your online shop stage, do the first real store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Plus, even if you do have questions, Shopify's award-winning help is there to help support your success every step of the way. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Arena Club. Okay, so y'all may be aware that we are pretty big fans of collecting Pokemon cards, meaning we have opened tons and tons of cards, but never have we opened cards the way you can with Arena Club. So here's how it works. Arena Club offers what's called slab packs, and the whole experience, top to bottom, is absolutely thrilling because what they do is put together this huge selection of cards, then they list all of the available cards you could potentially open so you know the pull rates, and then you digitally open your packs to reveal your latest pulls. And like, here is us genuinely opening up our last pack.
What is it? Oh my god, dude, it is literally the one we tried to open four earlier this week.
That is so crazy.
What makes it fun is even though you're opening them digitally, whatever you open is your physical card. So after you crack the pack, they'll display them in your own personal showroom where people can like make trade or purchase offers, or you can have that physical card shipped right to your home, which is what we've been doing because we love like displaying our Pokemon cards in our collection stuff. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or just displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. So right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/pop pop, which, wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. But anyway, that's arenaclub.com/pop pop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Fiji Water. Okay, y'all, it is summer, and for me personally, that means it is finally the season to use the brand new boat, where, of course, hydration is key because it is super hot out there, and we will be doing that with Fiji Water because it really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through the volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as any other top two premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And gosh, soft, I love that descriptor because it is so exactly spot on. If you've ever drank Fiji Water, it is soft water to drink. And unlike some of the other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330-milliliter and 500-milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today for your next backyard party, hike, beach, pool, or lake day. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. Yeah, so I think this works out well though, because we're talking about like coming out of like a new stage of life, yeah. Right? Yeah, which I think, you know, there's no doubt about it, like becoming a parent is a big one that will,
yeah.
It will, you know, it changes.
It will change you.
Your priorities.
Yeah. And significantly.
Yeah. Brain chemistry.
Yeah.
But we have Father's Day over the weekend.
We sure did, Ben.
Yep.
We had great Father's Day. Great, good time. We were out on the boat with you and Allison, Addie, and, you know, mom and dad. It was,
yeah,
super fun.
Yeah. It was, dude, this is another one of those situations where I have to say, like, it's so funny because I know that we've like harped on this like a little bit already, but I have that thing in my head where like I'll set like huge, massive, hopeful expectations, wants, desires for like the perfect little scenario as to like how things play out.
Yeah.
And so far the boat is killing it for me.
The boat has been like, great.
It has been, yeah, so great. Like, you know, you get like the whole family out there, and there's one of the really cool things that we've talked about in the past is like the cliff jumping.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there was like a really big stage for me as a child. And I think it's like why I have such an affinity for, you know, Vermont and the lake life and boating and stuff like that. But it was like, as a small child, I felt like I was timid, you know, yeah. Like I think that, like, you know, I think even going back to like rec sports as like a little kid, like when I was like 7, 8 years old, where like, if I, you know, it was like you went into the game, like I wanted to score goals, but like if the ball got passed to me, I was terrified.
Right.
You know, so it was like the second I had the ball, it was sort of like, okay, move this direction, kick the ball. Hopefully somebody else gets it. And then it's their problem.
Right.
You know, it was almost like I was like afraid to get the ball.
Right.
And then, you know, like we started doing this stuff, and I feel like there was the two big things were like water skiing and cliff jumping. And it was like, you know, you got there and it was like, you did this thing and you overcame this fear in such a way that was like a massive breakthrough. And who I was as like a person. And it's like something I've always wanted to share with other people in life.
Yeah.
And so over the weekend, we went to this, like, you know, where we go boating, there's like this cool rock structure feature where you can jump from like, you know, 20 to 25 feet, or from like 10 feet or like 5 feet or whatever. And, you know, we're all out there, like you got the boat anchored and we're all in the water swimming around and stuff like that. And we kind of like work our way over to the rock's edge and I'll let you take it over here because it was your boys.
Oh man. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, this was, first of all, this rock to me, like it is made for jumping.
It is, you know, yeah.
Like it is like one of those rocks when you're like on it, you're like, this is like almost like proof of God or something. Like God put this here to like with the intent for people to jump out off of it, for it to be discovered so you can jump off it into the water.
Right. Like nature has like a natural whimsy to it.
I know. It has like it slopes gently into the water. Even the slope has little cracks where you can easily grab stuff. Like there's like obvious tiered spots for your feet to go, and they're easy to access. And there's even a little trail. I mean, clearly the trail's been made by like people doing this. But like you can get to the top easy. It's not hard. There's a nice, easy, clear spot to do it. The water is deep. It was like, man, this is like it is made for it.
If you went to a water park that had a faux rock structure with the intention of being built by humans for humans to be able to exit the water to jump from different levels, they would replicate this rock.
I know.
You could change nothing.
Yeah.
Everything's all already there.
Perfect rock jumping rock.
Yeah.
And so we're out there and there was another family kind of there first, which almost like worked in our favor.
Right.
Because like they were kind of like on the rock and they were, you know, all the different people were jumping off it from the different levels. And we're all like, oh, boys, look, watch the guys jump or whatever. And they were watching like, whoa, that was cool. And so then we get out and we're like, oh, like, you know, I think. Do you guys like? I was like, oh, I'm gonna go jump. They're like, daddy jump, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, we're like, oh yeah, we're gonna go jump from up there. But so we're out playing in the water, and we're kind of getting over there, and I'm like, you know, oh, do you guys want to try and jump? And Nick and Nate are just like, yes, right. Absolutely, they're doing it. Luke was a little less interested, totally fine as well. But Nick and Nate, they immediately go over there, and we're like climbing out of the water, and we're getting up on the rocks, and it's like. This is their first time ever like climbing on like a big kind of like slippery section of the rock as well.
Is
like, you know, when like you and me and John and Mike have done like so many stupid rock jumping waterfall river rock shenanigans in our day. It's like there's a real art to like handling yourself on top of a slippery rock.
Yes, it's like there's like a coefficient of friction to the algae, the rock, and like your bare feet.
Yeah, your bare feet and like the angle you're standing at, and yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, it's like no matter how slippery the rock might be, it's like it probably can be done.
Yeah.
But you gotta get your balance just right. You
exactly.
Shift your center of gravity.
Right. It's like, but however sure footed you are that you're, it's always like I could slip.
Yeah.
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 But so anyway, they're crawling out and they're experiencing this for the first time, which was kind of adorable. But you're gonna like shove them up on the rock and like. We get them both up there, and I said, like, I show them, like, we're going to get to right here on this spot, and you guys can jump, like, right here, and, I'll get in the water for you or whatever.
right.
So, like, I get kind of Nick over there, and I show, like, Nate sort of standing in line, and I'm like, I'm going to walk down so that I can get in the water. And, like, before I even get there, Nick just full send, like, swan dives.
Yes. We got an amazing photo.
Amazing picture. I mean, this is, like, I mean, it's probably, like, 5 feet.
Yeah,
it's certainly not from the top of the rock or anything like that, but like there's a little ledge and he stand on it and like didn't even think twice, just boom, swan dive. I mean, did a bit of a belly flop at the bottom,
but
I mean, he went right for it,
right?
Like,
I mean,
didn't need anyone to catch him, just boom,
right? And that's the thing that blows my mind the most, because like every time I've ever taken anybody to do this, it's like I fully anticipate like treading water right beneath like where the landing zone is.
Yeah,
like, I will be here for you. You're gonna be okay. I understand you gotta work up your courage. Like it's a whole process. Like, you know, and I've seen, like, you know, because I like to do this, I've done this with a fair few people. Like,
yeah,
you witness it unfold. Never in a million years did I expect them to just get up there and just jump and immediately.
I mean, I've done this, a ton of times. Me and you did in fact jump from like the top spot on said rock, which was like super fun. It's like, you know, you're staring at it from the water, and it's like I was staring at it and I was like, what a great rock, what a perfect distance. It like, it's high, but like you're not even gonna get up there and feel nervous. And I got up there and I was like, this is It's high.
It's high.
It's higher than I thought. Right, you know? Yeah, fall and, like, and it's like, I don't think it was as high as like the ones we did in Vermont or anything, even.
Yeah.
Which, when I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, boy, how high were we jumping off stuff?
too high.
Maybe too. Everyone did it. Everyone just always did it.
Yeah.
We're fine. It was fine. We jumped. That was super fun. Great times. But, I was like, I, having done plenty of like, cliff jump rock, that I say cliff jump sounds like we're like really extreme, like maybe the highest we've ever gone is like 40-ish. Maybe your backflip in
my backflip was I think probably cleared 50, but I
did jump off that.
You did.
I jumped off it first, not backflip style, just feet first or whatever,
feet first style.
Yeah. The real scary about that one is the landing zone was so small.
Yeah, it wasn't smart.
Nothing about that one was smart, but this one, this place, much better. You can't miss. It's all deep. Even if you fell wrong, I mean, it would hurt, but like, you'd be okay.
Yeah, you'd be all right. You'd be all right. Just a little bit of a slap.
Yeah. But you're not even gonna do that. You're gonna land on your feet. It's gonna be fine. But so Nick does that full set, and then Nate right behind him just gets right up, boom, also right in, no hesitation, jumps, and they're both just scrambling back up the rocks, just like ready to go again immediately.
Yes.
And I think Nate, his landing kind of caught up with him. Like, he got up there for the second time and he was like, wait a second. Maybe I'm less sure the second time.
Does my face hurt?
Yeah. I don't know. So then he jumped a few more times from like a little lower spots. But Nate, on the other hand, I think he jumped off it like 20 times.
I think so. Yeah.
And I think like maybe the first 10 times I like helped pull him out of the water. And then at some point he was just running laps by himself. It was like so crazy to like watch him like even figure out the rocks, like the slipperiness on the rocks. Like at first he was having a lot of trouble, but eventually he figured it out and he's like, okay, hand here, foot there, boom, boom, boom. And I'm up and I'm jumping.
Yes.
Yeah. He was like, he had it like mastered by the end of like half an hour.
I know. It was so cool to see. It was so cool to see.
Yeah.
And it's been cute because like Addie's been with us. And so she's seen me like jump off the rock before. And she's like, Daddy, jump off big rock. But she's like, Addie, too small.
Too small.
And so then like when the boys started doing it, she was like, well, I want to climb on the rock. And I was like, are you doing this right now? It was like when I was thinking, I was like, I mean, no pressure. But like, you want to get out of the water and you want to climb up on the rock. It's like, we can do it. So she got up there and like, she like walked right up to the edge. You were in the water. I was like,
Addie, I got you right here. Yeah, no problem.
She is going to do this. So she didn't do it on this particular occasion.
No.
But I feel like I was like, man, that's a good omen.
Good. She got up to the edge. There was like the 5 foot spot, maybe like a one and a half, 2 foot spot.
Yeah.
I was really thinking maybe she would do that one just like, cause just jumping off at all is a huge progress.
It is.
It's just like, I jumped off a rock. Bam. Awesome.
Yeah.
Hit the water. I was so impressed that she got even that close.
I know.
I mean, and it was so funny watching her like waffle back and forth. Cause like there was a few times where she would like start walking and be like, I'm too scared. And then she'd like watch the boys jump and she'd be like, I can jump.
It's like, okay.
Like I can tell you want to, and then it's like, you're just balancing like your fear versus it all. But
it was all really adorable, and it absolutely pooped them.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they were so exhausted.
They were so tired. Yeah. Nate, when we got back in the car into the van to drive home, like he fell asleep on the drive home. We probably got home at like, I don't know, 5:30, and he slept until 6:30 this morning.
That's unbelievable.
Like he was just, I mean, he was like, I'm going to bed, putting himself to bed, everything. I was like, great. I like this.
Yes.
Yeah. Even Nick and Luke, like when I was like, it's bedtime, they were just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
They're like, okay, yeah. All right. I'll just go lie down. I'm pretty tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We were out in the sun just having so much fun yesterday though. So that was great.
It was really cute. I got home last night and Addie was having, I mean, she was definitely at that stage where she was so tired. She didn't know why she was so stressed. So I was like getting her ready for bed and she's just like looking at me and she's like, making all this noise. And she's like, I don't want to read books. I want to go to bed. And so I'm just like holding her, like rocking her in my arms, which I haven't really had to do that many times, like since she's been like a very small baby.
Yeah.
And like within like 20 seconds, she was just falling asleep in my arms.
Wow.
I was like, this is nuts.
This is crazy.
This never happens.
Never.
Cutest thing ever though.
Awesome.
So cute. Yeah.
Excellent.
How was the rest of your Father's Day?
Well, it was pretty good. We got up early and Beth had gotten me a gift for the day, which was a composter
for my garden.
I know.
Dude, the way in which I think it's even catching me by surprise, because like I would have said, like, you know, Mia, like I know how much Jay likes gardening. Like, you know, we talk about it on the pop, you know, like we've been discussing stuff. We've like tilled your garden together, that type of thing. I'm like, Jay's interest in his garden may actually be like growing in a way that I'm like, wow, okay, this is interesting. because I feel like you've been like really into it.
I mean, I've definitely been really into it. It's been a lot of fun to work on. And especially I think last year, like all I really had was the tomatoes and the cucumbers.
Okay.
Like at the end, like I planted carrots and onions, but they just sort of like, they never really turned into anything.
Right.
So like, I didn't have to do it, you know, I just had my couple rows of things, and when they made food, it was like, this is awesome. And it was really fun. And like, we went out there all the time and picked tons of, you know, tomatoes and things. But like this year I've got the tomatoes and the cucumbers and the peppers and the lettuce.
Okay.
And I guess a bean plant from Luke. So we'll see if that does it. I have no idea if that's going to produce anything or not. But then like, because like the entire garden is taken up, like it's like, you know, it's like I need to tend a lot more weeds and stuff like that. But like the composting is like, it's been one of those things where it's been like on the peripheral of like my interests, or I'm like, okay, yeah, I can, you know, should I get into it? Like, probably. Like, where am I going to put it? You know, how much effort's going to take? Like, you know, I get like a lot of like roadblocks in my mind. Like, there's nowhere to put it next to my garden. Or like, you know, if I even have to take like scraps to it, it's going to be like kind of a walk if I put it over there. Like, you know, all these stupid things.
Right, my way. Yeah.
That'll be there. But like, we got it yesterday and it was like, I was putting it together. It came together pretty quickly. And God, we had like a sort of unfortunate like first 10 minutes with it, where I was like, before I put it together, I was like watching videos like how to get started composting, and I learned about the browns and the greens and that. And I was like, okay, I got it. Or I can put this kind of cardboard in here. So like, you know, as I'm putting it together, I'm like, you know, it came in a cardboard box. I'm like, I'm gonna rip this up. This will be the first thing I put in there. I can compost the thing it came in.
Nice.
This is great. And then I was like, oh, you know what else we have ready on the go is I have my coffee from this morning. I just dumped all the grinds and the filter right in.
Right.
So I'm like standing in my living room and I'm like, I dumped the coffee in there, and then it's just like sitting there. And if you don't know how composters look, they just look like big wheels on a stick. And Luke comes in and he's like, did you put it together? And he just spins the wheel and just dumps all of the coffee grounds right onto my living room floor, the carpet. I was like, oh my gosh, why? I can't see a giant
spinning drum full of coffee.
I know. I was like, that was such,
in your living room.
I was like, and Luke, you could tell immediately. He was just like, I didn't know. And I was like, it's okay. You know, it's my fault. I shouldn't have done it. It's fine. But like immediately after that, so then we cleaned that up. But then, you know, I get it outside, and it was like, it was crazy to me, like the ways in which just having it as a possibility of like things you can go put in there, like there's a point in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows where Harry learns about the Deathly Hallows.
Okay.
And like all of a sudden his brain goes into overdrive and like all these puzzle pieces are clicking together and these great swaths of truths are like opening up. I think that's the line, like, or great vistas of truth are like opening up in his mind.
Yeah.
And it's like lighting the path. That's how it felt. Like it was like as soon as I had it, it was like all of a sudden like it like recontextualized like so many things in my house. Like,
interesting.
Oh, all of the cardboard and kind of stuff can go over here. And like when I have leaves, I can put those in. All these like different like scraps and things I otherwise might like, I don't know. Like it felt like it like changed a huge way in which like I like might interact with stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It made me the immediate way in which you could like, you can, you know, like I recycle stuff all the time. We've talked about, you know, me bringing stuff to the garbage holes.
Yeah,
recycling plant, and I was always full. It's like I bring stuff to the recycling, but to like literally do the recycling yourself.
Yes,
it immediately recontextualized like the power of like recycling or something, you know?
Yes, no, I understand what you're saying exactly. Like it's almost fascinating to me how like when you think of Because basically what you're doing with compost, in case anybody, because we didn't clarify from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah. But like, you don't know what composting is.
Composting is essentially the process of creating your own, like, enriched soil.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, what it really did for me when I started doing it was kind of like, okay, this is sort of fascinating because, like, outside in the world, like, when, like, weeds grow, for example, it's like a seed came from somewhere that that weed grew from. And then there had to be like rainwater that gave it enough water to grow with. And then it's like also taking energy from the sun. And like all of those ingredients coming together ends up giving you like a physical piece of grown, you know, organic material, which is the weed or the plant or the tree or whatever the case may be. But it's like by taking that and, you know, plucking it from the ground and placing it into your compost bin, you have taken like almost like a vessel for energy and you are now like going to reuse it for a different kind of energy because it will break down into enriched soil that you right. can then place on your plants. And it's like all of the energy that went into growing that weed that you didn't want can now help you grow something that you do want more intentionally.
Right.
And it's like, I think when you start to think about things in that capacity, you start to realize that like all of the growth, all of the environment around us, the trees, the plants, like all of life everywhere, it's sort of like, wow, that's a ton of energy.
It,
like,
I know.
Everywhere, you
it's
know?
Like, it's everywhere. And then like we had, so we got like a little bucket to put like in the kitchen table for like any scraps or whatever we might
yes.
put in it. And I remember Luke was looking and he's like, this is just gross. Like you're just like wasting this stuff. And I was like, no. We're not wasting it.
Right. We were wasting it.
Now we can put it in there. This is all just the leftover stuff. We would have thrown that away. Now we can put it in the composter. And like I saw like the gears in his brain just like click together. And he was like, oh. And it was
yes.
like, oh, you know, it was like, I don't know. Like it's not like I've not like know what composting is, but like having done it for 30 minutes, it was like suddenly like the power of it was like just like washing over me.
Yes.
Like this is crazy. And like, and who's to say, you know, I'm like, you know, and like, you're, you know, like one of the things I always hate whenever we do like make watermelon, not make it slice watermelons. Like you have those giant heavy rinds that like go in the garbage or whatever.
Right.
And just like we were slicing a watermelon yesterday and it's like, y'all that's going right in there.
Right in the bin.
Right in the bin. And it's like, I had this and now it's going to be out there. Just meant like, it also feels like everything you buy, then like your dollar's going that much further.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh yeah. And it felt like it like gamified everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like that banana peel. Heck yeah.
I know. It's like encouraging. Because if I eat the banana, then I can use the banana peels. It's right, fantastic, right?
It's like, I'm gonna go eat more bananas.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, I don't know. So immediately also trying to figure out. And then like, I think the other cool thing, so you can do compost piles, however you want. I mean, you could literally just be a pile of stuff on the ground and that will work.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So what we have is more like a compost like bin. It's like, imagine like a big hollow plastic tire that you just can spin.
Yes.
And as you spin it, it'll mix it or whatever. And like, I don't think I understood like why you might do one versus the other than maybe like keeping wildlife away or something. And I think there's certainly all the people online would always just do it like on the ground. And I was always like, well, am I like, should I just be doing it on the ground then? Or like, am I missing something? Is there a reason to do it this way? Is this like a less efficient way or whatever? And I would say what I sort of gleaned yesterday was that if you do it on the ground, the advantage is that the worms will find it from the ground.
Yeah.
And they will just get into it and they can accelerate the process and stuff.
Worms.
If you do it, yeah, worms. Yeah. Worms. Yeah, of course.
Worms.
And I was immediately like, well, no problem. I'll just get some worms. I can just dig up worms and throw them in mine, right?
Yeah,
no
yeah.
problem. Wouldn't do that. I don't think that would work because the advantage of doing it in a bin is the sun, because what you're doing is cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
You are, it's and like
way hot in there.
It is way hot in there. Yeah. Like I was setting this up in the morning and it was like, you know, the sun wasn't even up yet. And I was like, oh, it's already warm and it's not even like a hot day. And it was like, oh, I get it. Oh, like I'm like, so I'm composting right. You know, it's like I'm composting right now.
You're doing it right now.
I'm being productive right
Look
now.
At you go.
Things are happening.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
breaking down. Part of me has always wondered about like compost. Like it must take forever. It must take forever for stuff to just like break down. It's like the sun. in here, this is a pressure cooker. Yeah. This is what's happening. This is why it's going to go so fast.
Well,
and by fast, I mean like 2 to 8 weeks. But yeah. Like, you know.
But still, and it's really fascinating. And then, you know, the other thing too is that like compost itself, which can be sort of neat to see, but like it, as it like it becomes its own like living ecosystem, can produce its own heat. So like
that's weird.
Yeah, yeah, like so it's like if you go and like flip like a really good pile of like compost like in the middle of the winter, like it can be hot down in there,
right?
You know, because it's all that chemical reactions, right, like doing its things.
I know, it's like it's got its own bacteria,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's neat. That's all been. And I was like, you know, can you, 'cause I remember you said something like you put pumpkins in yours, like in your, yes, compost pile, and then it started growing pumpkins. And yeah, I was like, do I have to be careful about like putting, like, you know, one of the things I threw in yesterday was like the center of the pepper we sliced up. Or I was like, do I need to be concerned this is going to grow a bunch of like peppers next year? And it's like, maybe if you did it in a pit on the ground, that would be a problem. But inside here, again, heat going to kill it.
Yeah.
Heat's going to kill the seeds.
Yeah, probably so. Probably, yeah, so. But that being said, you know, I've thrown like a bunch of like flowers from like my front flower pots into, yeah, my compost heap, which is like a pile on the ground.
Yeah.
And it is actually sort of fun to go out there and like see, because then like the mums from like last year's like fall plants are now like growing in my compost heap.
Yeah.
But they look so healthy because like the nutrients,
right,
are, it's like, it's pure nutrients.
Right, right. So there's that.
So there's that. Yeah. So I have a beautiful compost pile, yeah, of crap.
Compost pile of stuff. Yeah. Super fun. Super fun. So yeah, I'm very curious. And then I'm like, I've already planted it. I guess you can just put it right on top of whatever you got out there. That's still just good.
Yeah. 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 That's the thing is like, I think I just have so much fun like making the new soil, but I'm like not the best at like implementing my
actual, like, how often are you using it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
do you effectively just have like a pile of dirt out there now though?
I pretty much do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like, when you put new stuff on there, it must take a while to break down.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then it's like, I'll end up periodically throwing like something on there that like takes longer. And that's usually like, well, I'll just let it break down. And like, I'll use it like when that's done, and then it just, I end up adding something else new to it,
or, right, you know, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So the thing I got is it's like two separate wheels, so it's like you can have the one that is done and then the one that is cooking still.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
yeah, there you go. So I guess we got, you know, you just have separate compost piles or whatever. But it was, I was like, this is immediately like, I wouldn't have ever thought of composting as like fun, but I was like, it was like immediately like fun.
Yeah,
like,
I love
this
it.
This is like, oh, this is great. Oh, this is I understand all of the benefits and the joys of doing this like at once.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like in a way that's completely unexpected. Yeah. We're putting like table scraps in a bucket, basically.
Yes, yeah. We need to get you a t-shirt that says like decomposition is fun.
Yeah.
People are like, wow, you must be fun at parties.
I'm like, ask me about my compost.
Yeah. That has to exist.
Oh my, it has to. It has
ask
to.
Me about my compost.
Ask me about my compost.
Oh man. Okay.
And it's like, I feel like you're right. I feel like it is almost like surprising me how much the gardening has been fun. And I'm like, I feel like I'm as into it as I feel like I'm getting. I don't feel like I have a big enough garden to, like, you know, like I feel like I'd be working on a lot more stuff. You know, what else can I plant?
Yeah. What else can I do?
I know. What else? And I'm like, maybe I need to get through. Like, there's a whole section on the side of my house that's like, it was a flower bed and I just forget it exists. You know, it's just dying out there. I'm like, that seems like prime real estate for something.
Yeah. Maybe now you're just going to like slowly turn your whole yard into like a little like forest.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing. I was like, I don't want it to take over the whole yard either.
Yeah.
It's a whole different problem.
Yeah, right. Like, still got to have a place to play. Yeah,
a place to play. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Now my curiosity is whether or not the people at home listening are like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe these guys who I listen to have just talked about dirt for this amount of time. Or if they're like, well, I want to join in on the unadulterated fun.
I know. Hopefully everyone's like, I'm starting to compost.
I know. It's like, hang on. Actually, did I just use that word right? I said it out loud.
I feel like people are not selling it right. You know, people are not selling composting like it's like a fun activity. I feel like they're like, this is good for your plants, or it's healthy, or it's like recycling. And these are all boring words. You know, it's more like you're going to the candy store.
Yeah.
You know, like people are really missing the mark on the marketing for composting.
People are sleeping on composting.
They are sleeping on composting. They're like, what, making dirt over the course of 12 weeks? great. And I'm like, yeah. And when you say it like that,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Just try it. Just try it.
Just try it.
You're gonna have a blast.
Repot your plants and see what happens when your plants have fresh soil.
I know. Like, this is the thing. I'm having fun doing it. No results yet, you know. It's not even like, oh yeah, I got to the end. I couldn't even believe my plants next year.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like my plants are growing just fine also as is. Although I did use compost in the soil. I just store-bought compost. Next year,
you're going to have all your own.
Homegrown compost. It's going to be, or even probably later this year. Who's to say?
Those tomatoes won't know what hit them.
Yeah, I know. They're going to be so ripe.
This is just pure nutrients.
I know. I've started harvesting some of the lettuce. So lots of fresh salads coming in at my house.
Amazing.
I've got many a tomato on the growth. Lots of green tomatoes at the moment. Nothing red.
My big one for this year is I planted strawberries for the first time, and I have zero faith that they're going to grow, but I want them to so badly. Because I think strawberries
They can take like years sometimes before they like really hit their stride.
See, it isn't so.
I know. Well, this is what I was hearing from, but I'm going to transition this nicely into another story.
Please do.
Okay, so this over the weekend, I have a word for this kind of person in my life. A Bigfoot, Ben.
Okay. Tell me about the Bigfoots.
Okay, so if you don't know what a Bigfoot is, you probably have one in your life. As we all know, Bigfoot, obviously a real creature. There's always sightings. You hear people talk about Bigfoot all the time. You never see it.
Right.
You know it's got to be out there.
Yeah.
People are out, you know, people talk about it all the time. So in my life, in high school, I had a couple of people who existed as essentially Bigfoots. We're like, all of my friends, like, so this, like, I, all my friends would talk about them, this other person.
Right.
Who I just never saw or never knew or never met. Like, clearly our Venn diagrams were like nearly like me and this Bigfoot's Venn diagram of mutual friends were like almost circles, but like somehow we were on those tiny little crescent moons on the edges.
Right. You know? Okay.
Right. Like we had not crossed paths despite almost everyone we both know knowing each other.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Right. You're describing it so well.
Yes.
I like it.
There was a different girl named Beth from our high school, not my wife.
Okay.
Different Beth, who I would hear people talk about all the time. And I would be like, people talk about her. It's like she went to our school, you know? And I was like, never met her. Years later, I was at this like, there was this event our church used to do called Feast. And me and my wife, Beth, were there and we're sitting across and, you know, this other Beth introduced herself to me. And I was like, oh my God, you're real.
It's you.
It's you. I've heard about you for years. And here you are in the flesh.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. So this is weird that's going to have happened with people with similar names twice. But so this past weekend.
Okay.
In our... We have the GMA, me, you, John, and Mike.
Yeah.
Right. And in John and Mike's grade, there was this other guy also named Mike.
Yes.
I'm just going to say Michael, even. And they, like, Michael would go on, like, bike rides with John, and they would go on little adventures, and they would talk about him all the time.
Yes.
As this, like, other friend, this, like, fifth random friend of theirs that they knew, and I just never met him.
I know exactly what you're talking about. He never hung out with us once.
And John had a pool in his backyard growing up. And it was, it is still the coolest pool
it is.
I've ever been to. They're overlooking the whole city of Roanoke. And like, it was not uncommon for there to just be so many people there at once. Cause like, there was three, like John had two older siblings and like all of them would just invite all their friends over at the same time
right.
to be in the pool. So there would just be so many people and other Michael, apparent friend of John's, apparently exists, never there.
What do?
Well, this past weekend, Nick and Nate are at a birthday party for one of their little preschool friends and we're over there and I see this guy at the party and I mean, probably like 30 minutes go by and I'm like, there's like three dads at this party. Me, this guy, and the guy whose kids are there.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, through one thing or another, like I haven't managed to talk to him at any point. And finally, Like I find myself like cornered over there and I'm like, oh, hey, what's up? I'm Jonathan, by the way. And he introduces himself and it's other Michael. And I was like, no way.
Yeah, I wish I had been there to witness this unfold.
Oh my gosh.
Because it would have been amazing to see their face, other Michael's face, be like, wow.
I know. What is happening? I was like, dude, I have a word for this. You're a Bigfoot.
Yeah, he's like,
and I'm like explaining it to him.
Good start.
I know. I'm like, here's do you remember like John and Michael or whatever, you know, from high school? Like they would talk about you all the time. And like, I never met you. And now here you are. Like you're legendary, you know?
Yeah.
You're mythical, but now here you are.
I found you.
I found you. But it was so funny talking to him then for the rest of the party. Cause you know, where he was, you know, one, similar to many of the stories we've told here, he'd be like, oh yeah, I mean, like, you know, John would ask me to go on these like bike rides, we'd like meet at the elementary school, and then like, you know, who knows where we'd end up. And I was like, yes, 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 exactly. Exactly. That's what happened to me too.
I had the same experience.
I would go to the elementary school and then we'd be, you know, 40 miles away and I'd be like, I'm dying. And he'd be like, yeah, like he'd ask you to go with him and then you wouldn't even see him. And I'd be like, yes, exactly. You get it.
He's oh like, my gosh.
On the other hand though, he's like, yeah, I don't think I've talked to John or Mike since like high school. And I'm like, I'm not texting them right now. What are you talking? No.
Yeah, right. Literally like, letting them know that I'm talking to you.
I'm in an active conversation with them at almost all times. So clearly you guys went your separate ways. I didn't.
He's my brother's brother-in-law.
And that came up to you. He's like, yeah, I've seen Mike. I was like, oh, I see Mike a bunch because like my brother Ben, he married Allison. Alice's sister married Mike. So I'm like Mike's like brother-in-law-in-law.
In-law-in-law.
You know, we're almost there.
Family.
Practically family.
Oh, man. Things have worked out well, haven't they?
They did work out well. Yeah. Man. So that was really funny that I met other Michael at long last. But anyway, to bring it full circle, he had also planted strawberries.
Nice. And,
like, finally, this year, they were about to have their first red strawberry.
Oh, okay. I know. Okay.
I know. But then he was also, so the reason he was at this party, because he was the literal next door neighbor of the person who was hosting the party. So that's how they were all friends. And so I'm, you know, we're standing in the backyard and I'm like, so this is your yard. And I'm like, so what kind of trees do you have over here? He's like, well, that's an apple tree and that's a pear tree. And I was like, what?
Pears?
I know. I was like, pear tree? That's insane. I was like, so how long have you had them? And, you know, like how long until you expect fruit? And he's like, well, I've had them for like, I planted them both like last year, but like we're getting fruit off the pear tree like this year. And I was like, no. Couldn't believe it.
You planted a pear tree.
Dude, well, maybe not a pear tree, but like it has always occurred to like the lack of appeal of planting fruit trees to me is like one, I've always assumed that we're not quite like tropical enough to to do a fruit tree.
I know. I remember reading the book Marley and Me about the dog and they like live in Florida and he has like an orange tree and Marley loves to like eat the oranges or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
an orange tree.
I want an orange tree.
Yeah.
Citrus fruits.
Exactly. So I'm like, one, it's always seemed like we don't quite live in the right climate for it. And then two, it also sounds like it's going to take like 15 years or something.
Yeah.
And always make it sound like, oh yeah, you're planting an apple tree and you can have some apples 10 years from now or whatever.
Who's
got
the time?
I know. I'm like, I just don't know. You know, I don't know if I have the patience to care for it. But now I'm talking to other Michael and apparently he's getting pears 1 year later. And I'm like, well, I need to reconsider fruit trees.
Apparently.
So So we'll just see, Ben. We'll just see. Because the other obvious ambition is to get my pecan trees going, which I am willing to wait for.
Yeah.
You know, that has such a nostalgic pull for me. And like, I've got my little pecan tree in a pot out on my front steps right now. And every day I pass it, like, it is literally like this weird nostalgia thing because it's got the same leaves already as the full grown tree.
Right.
Will. And it's like, these are the leaves of my childhood. Like, I remember these leaves, you know? Like, you don't see these leaves everywhere.
Well,
how are pecan tree leaves, you know? I remember them.
Here's the real question, Jay, is whether or not in the year 2034.
Yeah.
We'll still be doing the pop.
Yeah.
And if we are, whether or not somebody can or will remind us to get a pecan tree update from you on June 17th, 2034. Somebody set your calendar reminder.
To get the pecan tree update. But if I have pecan trees that are dropping nuts on the ground in my yard, you're going to be hearing about it.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. But I love to think that 10 full years from now, the scenario exists where somebody is like, because it feels like the type of thing where it's like, as much as I know I can convince myself I can remember this conversation right now,
yeah.
I won't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but somebody would be like, 10 years ago, you guys were talking about pecan trees. Where is the pecan tree
Where's
now?
The pecan
is it
tree
happening?
Now?
Do you guys have it?
Did like, we do it?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing is that like, my front lawn already has a bunch of trees on it.
Yeah.
Like there's not, like I only have so much property.
Right.
And so there's not a ton of spots for me to put two large trees. And like that said, there are trees. I wouldn't mind if they weren't there. You know, I wouldn't mind replacing two of the trees in my yard.
Should we just go out there?
I know. And I'm like, can I do that? Can I just like chop down perfectly good tree? For the sake of planting my own tree, can I replace it? You know?
What are the rules?
I don't feel like there's anything really like, stopping
in
me.
In Sims,
from
it's so
it.
Easy. You just,
I
like,
you just hit delete, plant,
put a new one in.
Done. You know? Like, and then I feel like there's all this extra pressure. Like, what if I do that and then the pecan tree did, like, just sort of doesn't pan out, you know?
Oh, man.
And I just sort of knocked out that big tree for nothing, you know?
It's like introducing someone to your family who doesn't go on to be your permanent significant other. And it's like, now they've met them.
Now they've met them.
Yeah.
Whoops. Yeah. Well, but, and I want to do, okay, and this is the thing. The other problem with the pecan trees is I brought it up before. You need two. You have two pecan trees.
Right.
So that they can
hang out.
They can hang out and like, you know, pollinate each other and whatever.
Family friendly show.
What's how it works?
Yeah.
So, and then that's the other part is I'm like, I've got this one, but I don't know the full story on this one. And I don't know if it has to be like a specific same kind or if just any two pecan trees will do.
Right.
You know, like I feel like there's a little bit of homework to do before
like
I go knocking down trees.
Some bizarro hybrid.
That is my absolute fear that I like just commit to knocking down two trees and plant two pecan trees and then they grow and someone's like, well, these actually aren't like simpatico, you know, and I'm like,
yeah.
No,
oh, come on.
What? I put in 15 years.
I committed so much energy.
There used to be this big tree here, and now there's two big trees, and at least one of them's worthless.
Right? Yeah.
I'm not gonna wait again.
Do I cut the other one down and the whole thing?
That would be such a bummer. So it's like I want it like a one. I know where I would put the two trees, but there's just two trees already there.
Oh,
you know?
Oh boy,
I know
those two trees are trembling in the roots.
They maybe better be. I don't know. I would rather have pecan trees. Is what I'm saying. I'm not getting anything out of them right now.
Right. Yeah. Purely ornamental.
They're purely ornamental. Exactly.
What good is that doing?
It's not producing me lovely, delicious pecans. Is what they're doing.
Lovely and delicious.
Lovely and delicious pecans. 10 years from now.
That'll be like a new product offering is we will call them lovely and delicious pecans.
Lovely and delicious pecans.
From Jay's own pecan tree.
From my yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Someday. Maybe.
You know what's crazy is if we're legitimately talking about 15 years from now, is that like Luke will be 21.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That would be wild. I wouldn't even have anyone to help me pick up the pecans.
I know.
That would be the problem is that like they would grow up and then they would start producing nuts and they would just be everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. People would be like, you got to pick these up and be like, well, I was going to have kids do it, but they're in college. So.
But they grew up. As did the trees. Darn it.
Yeah, they're huge.
We are where we are.
Where are we? Because they're like, they're not small when they're big, you know?
They're not small when they're big. That's so well said. Yeah.
Trees, not small when they're big.
Yeah, astute observation.
You come for the movie talk. You stay for the pecan talk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ask me about my compost.
But that's the thing. That'd be a great use for it, you know?
I know.
Put some compost right in that hole. Plant the tree.
Boom.
That'd be great.
I know. Be like all my former bananas and eggshells and potato rinds.
On the flip side, I think I have a great spot I can put a fruit tree, you know? And apparently harvesting fruit maybe as soon as next year.
Well, maybe,
depending on whatever.
These are the hopes and dreams.
So, yeah. You know, hope maybe I'll eventually people be like, yeah, I just got like a small house in the suburbs and I harvest way more food than you'd think from it.
So, right.
Yeah.
Not so bad. Everything is edible.
That'd be great. Just get, I got all these shrubs around the house. Get them out.
Yep. No.
Don't want them.
If you're not feeding us, we don't need you.
I'm not here for decorative bushes. Okay. Yeah. Plant some beans back here or something.
I like this new Jay.
I'm going to need more compost pile.
I know, yeah. Might need a bigger one.
Might need more than my 37-gallon drums, you know?
There you go. All right, y'all. Well, as always, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Hopefully you learned something new about composting. And if not, then what was even the point of this whole conversation?
I know.
Yeah, good times. I've personally enjoyed it. I think I even learned more. As per always, if you have any feedback for us, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by heading on over to patreon.com/popcornculture, where we have a variety of different tiers involved, including After the Final Pop, where I think in this week's episode, potentially we're going to discuss the time that we went to a Kid Rock cover band.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let me tell you, we were talking to Ethan earlier, and we were telling him a story about the time we went to a Kid Rock cover band concert, and he was like, how have I known you guys for this long without hearing this story? We were like, okay, all right. So we will be telling the story of the time we went to a Kid Rock cover band concert on After the Final Pop, if you're interested.
Yes, you want to go check it out. Patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.